A Story Publishing presents Dawn of Returns. Imagine the first light of dawn gently nudging the edges of a sleepy town as three business owners quietly open their eyes and their ledgers to a new week. In a small aromatic coffee shop tucked on a busy corner, Maria stands before a whiteboard already covered in scribbles of potential investments and equipment upgrades. Not far away, on a country road still rimmed with dew, Jacob unlocks the wooden door of his farm stand, a humble setting where seasonal bounty meets cautious hope. And across town, under the soft hum of early morning travel, Samuel pulls up a battered notebook in his office, a simple space dotted with coffee stains and handwritten figures that hint at dreams of expansion. In these quiet moments, before any customer or phone call can pull them away, each owner confronts a familiar dilemma. With every dollar earned, where should that money work hardest? This isn't ivory tower math or dry theory reserved for dusty textbooks. It's the heart of capital budgeting, a practical compass that guides daily choices, steering a business away from blind spots and towards sustainable growth, whether you're serving lattes, selling produce, or managing a cleaning crew. As the window panes brighten, Maria's gaze lingers on projections scrawled around an outline of a gleaming new espresso machine. She can almost hear the hiss of steam drawing a steady stream of customers. Out on the country road, Jacob flips through pages of plans for organic tomatoes and leafy greens, imagining expanded stalls under a sunlit awning. And in his cluttered office, Samuel traces the columns of last quarter's statements, weighing the long-term savings of eco-friendly equipment against the upfront cost and rising operational pressures. Underlying all their debates is a simple yet powerful principle: the time value of money. A dollar in hand today carries more weight than the promise of a dollar tomorrow. This truth forces each owner to measure future gains against present costs, to decide whether an extra expense now might bloom into richer returns later, or leave them scrambling for cash when they least expect it. That notion pulses like a steady heartbeat through their planning. Every moment carries a choice: spend now to unlock later benefits, or hold fast and wait. For Maria, Jacob, and Samuel, the ticking clock in the stillness of dawn is more than background noise. It's a reminder that timing matters as much as the math itself. Here, at the meeting point of possibility and prudence, capital budgeting comes alive. It's not just numbers on a page, but the art of shaping a future where each decision, however small, can change the course of a business. Soon, we'll uncover how the subtle gap between money now and money later lays the groundwork for making every dollar count. Imagine sitting at your kitchen table with a crisp $50 bill in hand, a tangible promise of spending power today. Now, picture the same $50 deferred, tucked away to be received a year from now. It might seem the same at first blush, but if you stop to consider the opportunities the money in your hand could unlock right now, the difference becomes palpable. Today's $50 can be invested, generating returns that compound over time. In contrast, that identical $50 promised later has missed its chance to work for you during this precious interim. This is the essence of the time value of money. Every dollar held today has the potential to grow, while dollars in the future come with the cost of missed opportunities. Let's bring this idea to life by envisioning a simple scenario. Maria, our dedicated coffee shop owner, weighs the decision of spending $50 today on a small advertising campaign versus waiting until next year. If marketed today, each dollar could translate into immediate extra foot traffic and quick returns that might even exceed the original $50. Waiting a year, however, leaves the money inert, a potential customer jumpstart lost. It's not just a quibble over timing. It's about understanding how money in your hand can sow future rewards. Now extend this thought process to planning a series of investments or projects over several years. Imagine plotting, pencil in hand, a multi-year cash flow forecast, a roadmap stretching out 5 to 7 years into the future. Start by marking your initial outlays, that first investment in equipment, upgrades, or advertising. Then sketch in the expected inflows, revenues, cost savings, or other benefits that will trickle in over subsequent months and years. This isn't just a spreadsheet exercise, it's crafting your financial narrative, one that captures both the expected highs and the potential bumps along the way. As you gently trace the inflows and outflows, be mindful of common pitfalls. For instance, maintenance costs might creep up over time, silently carving away at your anticipated returns. Taxes, with their occasional surprises, could adjust your cash flows more than you expect. And perhaps there are delays, a slower ramp-up in customer sales or unexpected holdups in production that reduce the cash you anticipated at key moments. Pause here for a moment. Picture your own business scenario. What expenses or delays might you face, and how might they alter your carefully drawn path? Allow this brief moment of reflection to remind you that no forecast is immune to the unpredictable rhythms of real life. Now, let's gently guide ourselves through the process of sketching out this cash flow map. Begin with your starting point, the initial expenditure. Imagine drawing a line from that outlay to a series of future periods. For each period, estimate the inflows. These might be increased sales, reduced costs, or even tax savings. Then, carefully jot beneath each inflow the expected outflows, ongoing maintenance, periodic tax bills, or perhaps capital expenditures needed to keep the new equipment humming at optimal capacity. As you sketch these numbers, remember that a forecast is an evolving conversation with your business's future. It's a dialogue where each expense or income stream speaks to the potential of growth, risk, and opportunity. Consider how the cash flows at first might appear moderate. Perhaps revenues grow slowly as your new venture takes hold. But then, as momentum builds, the positive flows might increase, offsetting earlier investments. This brings a soothing rhythm to your financial narrative, each period flowing into the next. Yet, remain wary. The initial excitement can sometimes mask overlooked costs. For example, if you underestimate the ongoing maintenance of a new piece of equipment, that miscalculation may echo forward, diminishing returns in later periods. Take a moment now. How do your own projections account for these hidden expenses? Reflect on any previous experiences where unexpected costs nudged your numbers off course. In this narrative of cash flows, the time element casts a long shadow. Money received earlier has a value that extends beyond its face amount. It carries the promise of additional earnings if reinvested judiciously. When you lay out your forecast, you're essentially constructing a financial timeline where every future dollar is cast back into today's light. It underscores a vital point. The sooner money is in hand, the greater its potential to build wealth, buffer against uncertainties, and fuel growth. At this juncture, you might be gently nudged with a question as you compare these sketches against your own charts and spreadsheets. Is the planned capital outlay truly worth the promise of future benefits? This brings you to a natural bridge in our story. With the cash map unfurled before you, layered with initial investments, anticipated inflows, and the pitfalls of forgotten expenses, a vital question emerges. What return is required to justify this present spend? As you mull over your sketch of future cash flows, think about the returns that must be achieved for the investment to be not merely tolerable, but truly worthwhile. This required return, the benchmark against which every projected dollar must compete, will soon become our next point of exploration. In the journey ahead, we will unravel how to pinpoint that critical rate, the one that rewards your initial risk and transforms the art of forecasting into the science of strategic decision-making. Maria's mind wanders back to that gleaming new espresso machine as she contemplates not just its appearance, but the numbers behind it. In her ledger lies a simple equation: the investment's initial cost balanced against a series of anticipated cash inflows. Imagine the machine carries a price tag of $5,000, and she foresees it generating additional earnings over the coming years. Perhaps $1,500 in the first year, $1,700 in the second, $1,800 in the third, and $1,400 in the fourth. Her goal is to determine the internal rate of return, or IRR, the elusive break-even interest rate at which the value of all future cash flows just compensates for that initial $5,000 outlay. Let's step slowly into the calculation, much as a careful artisan might trace the contours of a beloved design. Picture Maria setting up her equation on the whiteboard. In her mind's eye, she sees cash flow after cash flow arranged neatly along a timeline. The task at hand is to find the rate, this IRR, that, when applied to future earnings, makes the sum of their present values exactly equal to the $5,000 spent today. She begins by pondering one rate at a time. Suppose for a moment that we discount these future returns at 10% per year. With that rate, the first year's $1,500, when drawn back to present value, might be a little over $1,360. The following year's $1,700 gets trimmed slightly more by the compounding effect, arriving at about $1,390. The next figures follow suit, each reduced in a way that preserves the rhythm of the passing years. Adding these adjusted sums might leave her with a figure just a touch over $5,000, a sign that 10% might even slightly undershoot the true break-even point. Now, if she nudges the dial upward to, say, 11%, the financial landscape shifts. Each cash flow is compacted a bit more, meaning their present values are smaller. The same calculation would now yield a total that hovers closely around zero when compared with the original investment, precisely the condition we're after. In this mental bracket between 10 and 11%, it appears that the IRR is likely nesting around 11%, where the future inflows exactly compensate for the initial cost. As you listen, imagine this mental balancing act playing out on your own calculator or even in your head as you compare such rates with your personal benchmark. Many business owners set a hurdle rate, perhaps 12% or higher, reflecting the minimum return they require to justify taking on a new investment. Maria's finding an IRR of about 11% for her espresso machine now becomes a moment of quiet reckoning. It invites her, and you along with her, to ask, is this machine likely to outperform the opportunities I might invest in elsewhere? In our unfolding narrative, the IRR emerges not as an abstract percentage, but rather as a conversation between expectation and reality, an honest reckoning of whether the risk above all expenses is truly worth the promise of a great future. The gradual tightening of our mental bracket from 10% to 11% mirrors the thought process behind many strategic decisions. Each cash inflow, carefully discounted, tells a part of the story and nudges the overall picture closer to that critical rate where profit meets potential. The art and science of internal rate of return are illuminated by this very exercise. By mentally bracketing and recalculating until the numbers nearly cancel out the initial cost, we demystify the process. It isn't a black box that yields a magical number overnight. It is a transparent lens through which we view the sequence of cash flows, each one representing not just money, but the tangible promise of future growth. Think back to your own projects. What IRR does your instinct demand to call a venture a worthwhile gamble? As you weigh these thoughts, consider how this carefully deduced IRR stacks against your hurdle rate. Perhaps your own benchmark demands a return of 12% or more, in which case the espresso machine, as enticing as it appears, might fall just short of the promise. On the other hand, if your opportunity set is limited, or if the risk factors tilt in favor of such modest returns, an 11% rate might be the perfect complement to your broader strategy. This comparison is not merely technical, it is deeply personal, shaped by your individual risk tolerance and the strategic priorities of your business. In reflecting on Maria's deliberation, we see that the IRR is more than just a number. It's a dynamic indicator, one that transforms the cold arithmetic of cash flows into a narrative that speaks directly to the heart of any investment decision. Mariana's quiet calculation on that whiteboard becomes a call to all business owners: evaluate, bracket, and compare. Think about the potential returns on your next upgrade or the alternative projects that call for your attention. With this conversation between future earnings and current expenditure laid out before us, our journey into capital budgeting grows ever richer. We've seen how a simple piece of equipment becomes a microcosm of risk and reward, a tangible example of how the time value of money combines with strategic thinking to forge bold decisions. As we prepare to transition to our next segment, where we delve into comparing these dynamics across other projects, from the vibrant life of a farm stand to the operational nuances of a cleaning crew. Take a moment to let Maria's meticulous approach resonate. In the interplay of numbers and narratives, the IRR stands as a beacon, inviting us to examine each opportunity with both our analytical mind and our business intuition awake. Let's now broaden our view and see how this same technique transforms when the stage shifts to other thriving endeavors. As the canvas of business widens, our journey now takes us beyond the coffee shop's crisp aroma and into the sunlit realm of Jacob's roadside greenhouse and the practical hum of Samuel's cleaning crew. Here, the internal rate of return reveals new depths, shaped not only by the rhythm of periodic cash inflows, but by asset lifespans that stretch unevenly, salvage values that whisper of eventual resale gains, and seasonal cycles that determine when extra revenue truly blossoms. Picture Jacob, our farm stand owner, deciding to invest in a sturdy greenhouse. Unlike Maria's espresso machine, which promises a steady stream of benefits, the greenhouse follows nature's cadence. In spring and summer, fresh tomatoes and leafy greens flourish in both quantity and market value, inflating the cash inflows. Yet in the off-season, when colder days slow production, revenue falls back, reminding Jacob that even the sunlit promises carry downtime. When he calculates the IRR, he must weave in a salvage value, an assumed resale price if he sells the greenhouse after 5 or 10 years. Although this salvage sum is modest compared to peak harvest receipts, it nudges the overall rate upward, cushioning the impact of lean months and underscoring how long-term resale potential can balance early-year costs. This silent bump in the calculation tells a story of durability. The longer an asset lasts and the more value it retains at the end, the more it improves the overall return on investment. Moving from fields to floors, Samuel faces a fresh dilemma with his cleaning crew. Upgrading to eco-friendly equipment isn't merely cosmetic, it's a strategic shift aimed at boosting efficiency and cutting operating expenses. Unlike the greenhouse, where seasonal swings dictate performance, cleaning machines follow a pattern of regular peaks and troughs tied to service demand. The lifespan of these machines may be shorter, and their salvage value lower, given wear and the pace of technological change. Yet here too, the IRR calculation threads together the upfront cost, the anticipated savings in labor or supplies, and the expected resale or scrap value at machine retirement. Samuel must also account for accelerated depreciation schedules, an accounting benefit that front-loads expenses and can make early-year returns look brighter. By layering these maintenance intervals and tax-driven adjustments into his forecast, he avoids the trap of superficial optimism, ensuring his percentage reflects the real cadence of days on the job. These two case studies illustrate the dual nature of IRR. It translates a sequence of cash flows into a single percentage, but it also captures the unique quirks of each project. The greenhouse offers a slow but seasonally amplified yield, propped up by eventual salvage. The cleaning upgrade yields smaller but steadier cash savings cycles, accelerated by depreciation rules. Yet this power also carries a caveat. By focusing on percentage yield alone, we risk overlooking scale. A project boasting a 15% IRR on a $2,000 investment might add only $300 of net gain, whereas a larger $20,000 venture at 10% could yield $2,000, delivering far more tangible profit. In reality, further variables complicate the picture. Financing constraints may cap how much capital a small farm can allocate to a greenhouse, regardless of its attractive return. Tax incentives, such as investment credits or bonus depreciation, might accelerate returns and shift the IRR calculation dramatically. And don't forget the impact of working capital needs. Inventory buildup or delayed customer payments can quietly erode cash flows. Each of these factors reminds us that beneath every neat percentage, there lies a labyrinth of financial nuances, each one tugging our final decision in a slightly different direction. So when you stand at the crossroads, greenhouse versus machine upgrade, you bring two insights to the table. First, IRR offers a distilled view of profitability, blending costs, inflows, salvage values, and timing into a single figure. Second, that figure must be weighed against scale, financing limits, and any off-the-book benefits like tax credits. Lean too heavily on percentage returns alone, and you may stumble into choices that look appealing in theory, but under-deliver in actual dollars. With these lessons in mind, let us prepare to enrich our toolkit further. In the next part of our journey, we will introduce a metric that speaks directly in dollars, one that complements IRR and ensures every decision, no matter how promising its percentage, is measured by the concrete impact it delivers to your bottom line. Imagine the morning sun climbing over the rooftops just as Maria leans in to review her whiteboard, numbers dancing between percentage rates and dollar amounts. Having wrestled with the internal rate of return, she now turns her attention to net present value, the calculation that translates those tempting percentages into the tangible language of today's dollars. In a moment, every future dollar promised by her espresso machine will be summoned back to the present, weighed against the $5,000 she must spend now. Maria begins by recalling the expected earnings: $1,015 in year 1, $1,700 in year 2, $1,800 in year 3, and $1,400 in year 4. Applying a 10% discount rate, a figure drawn from her loan interest rate and the returns she might earn elsewhere, she reduces each future inflow to its present equivalent. The first year's $1,500 shrinks to about $360, the next year's $1,700 to roughly $1,400, and so on, each sum losing some of its luster with every passing year. When she adds these present value numbers, she sees a total that hovers almost exactly around her $5,000 outlay. A slight surplus would mean the machine delivers more value than it costs. A small shortfall would warn her to hesitate. Suddenly, the decision is no longer about a rate of return alone, but about whether the investment actually enriches her bottom line in today's terms. Out on the country road, Jacob confronts a similar exercise with his planned greenhouse. The peaks of summer harvests and the troughs of winter slowdowns each become a line item in his forecast, and at the end of the asset's life, he tacks on a modest salvage value. Discounting every seasonal cash flow at the same 10% rate, he stacks the present values like bricks in a wall, observing how the bright spikes of spring and summer narrow once they're translated back into today's currency. In his mind, he compares this dollar stack against an IRR that once boasted a robust 15%. Now he sees that despite the high percentage, the actual net gain in cash might be surprisingly small, simply because the off-season lulls and the eventual sale price temper the overall payoff. Choosing that 10% discount rate did not require an arcane formula. Jacob began with the interest rate on his borrowing, what it would really cost to finance the greenhouse, then added a bit more to reflect the unpredictability of weather and market demand. Finally, he asked himself where else he might put $10,000 if not here, and what return he could reasonably expect. In this way, the discount rate becomes a mirror of his opportunity cost, the highest return foregone by tying capital to this single project. Net present value, in this light, acts as the essential complement to IRR, converting a percentage snapshot into a clear tally of dollars gained or lost. Maria may flirt with an 11% IRR on her espresso machine, but if the NPV calculation shows only a slim positive or even a small negative, she knows better than to let a nice rate blind her to the true impact on cash. For Jacob, a lofty IRR in isolation can obscure the fact that the sum of discounted inflows yields only modest growth in his checking account. There are times, too, when IRR and NPV diverge, especially in projects with unusual cash flow patterns or multiple sign changes. In those moments, seasoned entrepreneurs lean toward NPV's singular, unambiguous verdict, the number of dollars that truly make their way into the till today. When every dollar matters, and one misstep can tip a small business from profit into peril, this clarity proves indispensable. Yet, even NPV rests on assumptions about future sales, costs, and timing, so it demands the same degree of scrutiny. What if latte sales fall short by 10%? What if the new greenhouse costs 15% more to heat than anticipated? Each scenario tests the vigor of your calculations and reminds you that forecasting blends art with science. Supplementing your NPV analysis with a quick sensitivity check, tweaking one assumption at a time, can reveal whether a slight shift in conditions might turn a solid plan into a cautionary tale. In practice, you need both measures side by side. IRR offers the language of rates, tapping into your sense of how fast your money might grow, while NPV speaks in raw dollars, translating opportunity into concrete gains. When the two align, you have reassurance that both percentage and scale are in your favor. When they conflict, you let the dollar result guide you, mindful of your own cost of capital and risk appetite. Picture yourself opening that ledger and comparing several projects. One whispers of an irresistible 14% return, but adds only a few hundred dollars in net present value. Another promises a steadier 8%, yet piles on a few thousand dollars more in today's terms. Which venture best fuels your goals? The answer emerges not from a single metric, but from the harmony between projected growth and real cash gain. As we move forward, carry this partnership of perspective with you. The IRR will always speak to your venture's potential speed of return. The NPV will remind you of its true weight in your pocket. Together, they form the guiding duo that ensures each investment not only looks appealing on paper, but truly enriches your business when the bills come due. Imagine the warm glow of early morning light as our trio, Maria in her bustling cafe, Jacob tending his vibrant farm stand, and Samuel coordinating his cleaning crew, gathers around their financial maps with a keen sense of curiosity. Today they aren't merely checking off numbers, they're embarking on a one-variable sensitivity analysis, a deliberate test that nudges a single assumption and watches how the entire forecast shifts beneath its weight. Maria stands before her familiar whiteboard, where optimistic projections for the new espresso machine have long taken shape. Suppose she reduces her latte sales estimate by 10%. What happens to the returns she's counting on? As she presses the calculator, both the internal rate of return and net present value slip closer to her break-even mark, a clear signal that even a modest dip in daily orders can send ripples through her profit picture. This exercise reminds her that naming each assumption matters. When the unexpected arrives, she'll know exactly which forecast line needs revisiting. Meanwhile, Jacob considers his sturdy greenhouse under the lens of higher upkeep. Imagining a 15% rise in maintenance costs, driven perhaps by an unusually cold season or equipment repairs, he reruns his numbers. The seasonal harvest peaks cushion the blow, but cannot entirely mask the added expense. His IRR falls back, and the NPV margin narrows, revealing that hidden, recurring costs may be the very concern that disrupts his long-term plan. By isolating this single variable, Jacob learns where to build in extra safeguards or contingency funds. In Samuel's office, a different surprise emerges. His eco-friendly cleaning machines are supposed to save on labor and supplies, but what if those savings prove even more generous than expected? Feeding a slightly higher efficiency figure into his model lifts both IRR and NPV decisively, offering a reassuring buffer against unforeseen challenges. This positive shift shows how small, favorable twists can transform a cautious estimate into something that outperforms its original promise, and why it pays to test for upside surprises as well as risks. Through these deliberate tweaks, a few truths become evident. Clear labels on each assumption let you trace the source of any swing in results. Focusing on the inputs that keep you awake, the hidden costs, the seasonal lulls, the volatility in customer demand, ensures you aren't caught unawares. And watching how close your projections slide toward a break-even point provides an early warning system so you can adjust course long before a small slip becomes a serious setback. Yet this method also uncovers strengths, showing where your plan might hold up even under stress, or where a pleasant surprise can bolster your outlook. As the day unfolds and the sun climbs higher, Maria, Jacob, and Samuel carry these sensitivity experiments with them as more than an academic drill. Each scenario becomes a strategic rehearsal, refining their vision and fortifying their decisions. Next time you weigh an espresso machine upgrade, a greenhouse expansion, or new cleaning equipment, pause to tweak one assumption, predict its effect, run the numbers, and let the result guide your next move. In practicing this focused stress test, you turn uncertainty into insight and make every assumption a stepping stone toward a resilient, prosperous tomorrow. Imagine you're standing at a crossroads where all the threads of our journey, time value, cash flow mapping, IRR, NPV, and sensitivity analysis, come together in one clear decision tree. Picture a simple map. If your project's internal rate of return exceeds your hurdle rate and its net present value is firmly positive, you have your green light. If the two measures clash, let the dollar figure prevail. If NPV falls short, pause and revisit your assumptions. And if both indicators dim, consider redirecting your capital to something more promising. This decision tree reflects the core insights we've uncovered. Remember the time value of money. A dollar today holds more potential than one promise tomorrow. That principle underpins every cash flow forecast you draw, where each inflow and outlay finds its place along a timeline. From there, the IRR steps forward as a balancing scale, comparing your projected returns to the upfront cost. Yet percentages alone can mislead. That's where NPV enters, translating those rates into the concrete language of today's dollars. Of course, no projection stands free of uncertainty. Optimistic revenue estimates can gloss over seasonal lulls or creeping maintenance expenses. Underestimating working capital needs or missing a tax lag can skew the picture. By running simple one-variable sensitivity tests, tweaking a single assumption, and watching how IRR and NPV respond, you expose hidden risks and guard against unwelcome surprises. Picture Maria in her cafe, Jacob at his farm stand, and Samuel leading his cleaning crew, each running these checks on their calculators. When a 10% dip in coffee sales nudges the numbers toward break-even, or a surge in greenhouse upkeep chips away at returns, they know exactly where to adjust. Likewise, spotting an upside twist in cleaning machine efficiency reassures them that their original estimates were solid. In every case, this focused stress test turns abstract forecasts into actionable insights. Let this integrated decision tree be your practical guide whenever a new opportunity glimmers on the horizon. It reminds you that robust numbers are more than abstract percentages. They're the heartbeat of a resilient business plan. When rate and dollar figures sing in harmony, you can move forward with confidence. If they clash, let the cash value verdict steer your choice and revisit any assumptions that don't hold up to scrutiny. As you think about your next venture, whether it's new equipment, market expansion, or a technology upgrade, keep this toolkit at hand. Rewind these chapters as needed, plug in your own figures, and watch the narrative unfold. Each careful calculation will not only forecast potential profit, but also build the sturdy path to a more secure, vibrant tomorrow. Thank you for choosing Astor Publishing.